You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, my name is Sam Benrubi, and I'm the host of The Grape Nation on Heritage Radio Network. With this show, we bring wine to the people. Each week, we bring the best guests in wine on, taste different wines on air, and invite our listeners to taste with us. You'll find our approach to wine decidedly unsnobby. You can find The Grape Nation wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, my name is Megan Quigbaum. I'm a wine writer and contributing editor for Punch, an online magazine that I hope some of you will be reasonably aware of at this point. I am super excited to get to talk with this crew this morning because these wines from Costa de la are so special, and they have brought a ridiculous lineup of wines that you don't often get to try very much. The least of which reason is that the wines just sell out constantly, so having something with this bottle age is really hard to find. I am joined by a great panel of Martina Celi, who is, what is your title at Costa de la? What is your job called?
My job. Everything.
Everything. She makes the wine come to the United States and
yes.
Gets it in the hands of other people.
Yes. I start 2012. To help Ernesto Cattelli is the founder of Costa de la Farm, and then I make sure that everything. I make sure that everything go well, and then Alex is help me, and it's fun. Maybe yeah. Alex.
No, it's okay. No. But my English is very.
She's,
his English is great.
He's,
when I translate it for him.
Working a lot inside the cellar.
And then Jules Dresner on the end is from Louis Dresner, the importer of this wine for, I think, since it's been in the U.S., right? For many years.
Yes. Getting close to a decade now. Yeah.
right. That's exciting. And this tasting is a tribute to Ernesto Cattell, who was the founder of Costa de la. I think the first vintage was 2004, and was founded by a group of friends who, you know, had a love for this area. And maybe, Martina, you could talk a little bit about the founding and who helped found the winery, the partners in the winery.
Ernesto have a big project. So he to start this big project, he need some someone that loved wine, so they could understand the work and help to building this project. It mean it was to start with a farm with animals and also animals and also work with grapes, so there it was not just the winery. And then he buy a house in Costa de la town. It's on the hills of Valdobbiadene. Maybe I don't know if someone know the area. We are north of Venice, like 1 hour direction north and down the mountains. And then he started in this place with, at the beginning it was three partner, and then every year it, one more. So now we are a lot.
How many partners now?
Like more than the type of bottle that we have. Yes, there are friends and partners that are, believe in the project, and then it's yes.
Yeah, so
someone go out, someone go inside, and so we are a big family.
The idea of was always from the beginning to start a polycultural project, not necessarily just a winery, as Martina said. The wines are what are most famous for at this point, but the original vision was to have to basically show a way to break out of the cycle of industrial agriculture in this area in particular, but in general. So. growing vegetables that then could be sold to the restaurant that they own that could then be a bed and breakfast, and you could drink the wine, and an ecosystem of everything working together, but also showing that you could work independently and on a small scale and still succeed in an industry and in a climate that makes it every day more and more difficult.
I think we
and,
should.
And the partners are all, as Martina said, all friends. Most are behind the scenes. Some are professionals in Venice and Verona, right? And
Verona.
They're mostly Verona. Yeah.
Verona, Trieste, or north of Italy.
Yeah, and who are just good friends of Ernesto and wine yes. lovers, and just really believed in the project because they started mm-hmm. it from absolutely nothing, with no background, no vines, no history.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we will test also other type of bottle later. I will not talk now too much, but Ernesto start Costa di La project, and during the year he also started to create other project, and so he have this kind of, like, I don't know, he bring close a lot of people, him, to work with them. He love to work also with other people and have a, come si dice,
community.
Very, very capable people.
I think we should sort of establish where Costa di La is, because it's in the Veneto and it's in the Prosecco region, which has gone through many, many changes over the past 50 years, say. So from a very rural farmer aspect and then into this very industrialized way of making wine. At the beginning, all of the vineyards were sort of on the hillsides and at different altitudes, but as the work was really hard, growers just started planting vines on the valley floor, and so it was very easy to use mechanized harvesting, and it just really took the person out of it. Also, there was a piece of equipment developed. I think at the end of the 18th, or at the end of the 19th century, but it's called an autoclava, and it essentially bubbles the wine very quickly so that the bubbles don't have to develop in the bottle at all. And so what Ernesto wanted to do was go back to the old way of making Prosecco, an old style, and maybe you can talk a little bit about Col Fondo, how it's made, and what he was trying to do.
In our area, once upon a time, it was this Prosecco Col Fondo, the wine does some days maceration, contact with the skin. Usually, it depends of the vintage, of the harvest, and it was a wine for the farmer, and a wine for the table, wine table for the family that they could drink every day. It was not so much alcohol and thin bubble. And it could be also aged a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's a wine that you made after the harvest, you will keep the wine and you do the first fermentation. And then during the beginning of the summer, so it will be more cold, and you have right degree to do the secondary fermentation. And the secondary fermentation could be do with the most. Otherwise, also with in some area, especially where we are, also with some torchiato is drying grape. That stay all the winter drying, and then you press, and you have this juice with a lot of sugar, very fresh. And with this, you will make the second fermentation in the bottle, and so you will have a re-fermented bottle, this kind of re-fermented bottle, and at the end you have also the yeast sediment. Okay. And about the maceration, it could be a change. Yes, we do maceration also in the past because it's like the same reason of when you do a red wine. If you do a red wine, you do a lot of maceration. You keep the color, but also a lot of the skin of the grape.
Tannin
and that should help to conservate the future. So you can have this drink this wine also a lot of year after, like a red wine. Okay, this is not the reason because we do also in the past maceration, but this was a need. Also because you have a grape that are very simple and during the maceration you keep a lot of the skin of our grape. In our area we have autochthonous grapes, like Bianchetta, Verdiso, Buschera,
Pereira,
and also Glera. But you do Prosecco, not with 100% Glera like now, but you have all vineyards with a lot of different plants. So maybe 50% is Glera, but then you have also plants, other type of grape.
This is cool. This is like the vineyards are so old that they don't know necessarily, you know, how many Pereira vines there are, how many Bianchetta vines there are. It's just all planted all together. So I was talking with Alex earlier, and he said, you know, this is Glera mostly, but we don't really know how much Pereira is in it. It's just like of this place. Could you talk a little bit about what the different grapes, what they contribute to a wine? Yeah, Pereira.
Yeah. But Glera is a Prosecco, and is a very high acidity grape. It's a big grape, and it's, but Pereira is the name to similar to Pia for the variety. It's a semi-aromatic grapes. And Bianchetta is very spargolo,
It adds the bubbles.
No, spargolo.
Oh, it's long.
It's long. Long,
it's
long,
not bunches. It's compact. Okay.
And I'm not very technical, but I work in the vineyard.
When I went to visit Ernesto a few years ago, he told me that Glera was like, he said it's a very silly grape. It's very generous. It's like a blonde. It's very nice to be around, but you need other things to have other grapes to hang out with. Which
Glera
kind of always stuck with me.
Big production.
Yes. Not much to say.
But for to this wine, we made 15 quintali to the resa the vino. Resa, 50 quintali per ettaro.
Oh, it's quite high yielding. Also, it does up to 50 hectoliters per liter, so it's very high yielding. Which could mean that you could have a very kind of substandard, basic product with not a lot of personality, but you also have lots of quantity, which is good if you want to make a lot of bulk or industrial wine.
But la resa media è di 300 quintali per ettaro.
But the wines and the vineyards they work, they intentionally hold back yields intentionally to get concentration and flavor.
So let's talk about the wine that's in our glass a little bit. So is it this is the 280?
Yes.
Oh, this is the 450, 450 meters. So these wines are named for the altitude that they're planted at. So again, that like counterpoint to the Prosecco that we're also sick of at this point. This is planted in high altitude, and it's planted in very, very steep vineyards. And maybe you can talk a little bit about what this vineyard was like and how this wine is changing, I think, now that you're working on it.
We test first wine that is without maceration. This is the more high vineyards that we have, Costa di La. And it grow the plants grow up on the stones. It's a really
limestone.
Limestone, yes. It like Megan said before. Every year change the wine because there is no temperature control, no selection is, and it's very simple. So
right.
Yes, this is we test the for first one because it's the most simple. It should be.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of the highest vineyards yes. in the area, right? It's not. There's not much planted. Our other highest in the vineyard. Yeah. And you.
One of all the highest vineyards.
Okay.
Not the.
You're making it differently now, though. You said that in 2018 you had done more.
We start
with skin contact.
We start the work with skin contact. But we change.
This is
we
the
change, We change the vine. We take a new vineyard, and it's very very old vineyard. And it's good made with contact skill to.
Right. You can taste the new vintage at their table. It's like it's a totally different color, a totally different wine. What do you think? What was Ernesto's vision for this wine? What was he trying to make with this?
During the work, every year, every harvest, it was even exciting because before the harvest, you go in the vineyards, you taste the grapes, and then. You will just already start to think about what you will do with these grapes. Home maceration or no maceration in the inox, in the barrel, because Glera vineyards with other autochthone grapes are even quite simple. You don't have aromatic, it's a simple wine, but it's good because also for Ernesto was nice to work with this kind of grapes because you can give your intention and change a little bit and give a character, okay? Also, if the grape have not so a special character like other grapes, aromatic or more. So this was the part interesting.
What he was trying to make, yeah. But he also was one of the only producers working in biodynamics in Val d'Abbiadene for a long time, yes?
Yes, it was one of the first winemakers that started with a farmer that say that I'm biologic. You know, no one in our area like to talk about biologic. So there was maybe agricoltori, not one farmer. That work in biologic way, but they didn't know that he do biologic. That is a kind of
just the way they did.
Yes,
it.
Yeah. And then the big industry of cellar and big cellar, they don't like, as I told you, to talk about biologic, and it was not easy also for Ernesto to present this kind of wine in the area. It was not accepted by the consortio Prosecco right. Val d'Abbiadene
right.
because there is some regole.
The color, the sediment?
Yes. It's, in our area, if you want to do a Prosecco and say it's a Prosecco, it should be white, very clean. Without sediment, so and at the beginning, for the like first 10 years, no one understood this kind of type of wine in our area. It was very difficult. All the people drink and say, "Oh, it's like the wine of my grandfather," but in the shops, young guys love more Prosecco, clean, and so it was a very, come si dice,
A slow build.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And I think he also, I think Ernesto helped inspire other winemakers to go back to Colfondo. Would you say that he's a leader
now,
in that?
No. Yeah. After 10 years, now everyone, also the big seller, do Prosecco Colfondo. So.
And some of it's really Colfondo and some of it isn't. I mean, it's made in very different ways in order to have that setting.
Yes. Right. You will find a lot of Prosecco Colfondo now.
Right.
But maybe the fondo is something different about the sediment natural. I don't know, but they can do everything now, the industry, you know.
Right. Could you talk about the winery and the cellar that you have, what it looks like and what barrels you're using? It's a very distinct space. It's tiny.
And Megan, I know that she come visit Ernesto 3 years ago, so it's la nostra cantina.
Big cellar, mm-hmm. but we use a very small part because producing poche bottiglie.
Yeah, they have it's a huge space, but they use very little of it to actually make the wine because they don't have that much to make. But it's a large industrial old warehouse.
Yes, and Ernesto don't like to. Was not so happy to bring people inside the cellar because it's an industry cellar. But like of 40 years ago, very old, but abandoned. So it's like a big capannone, old industry, abandoned, and we stay alone. We rent a part. And
it still looks abandoned.
Yeah.
you have to know that something's there.
It's very particular.
Very old barrels that you're working with. Yes. Where did the barrels come from? That you're working with.
A big barrel. We start barrel. Treviso. Garbellotto is the producer.
They're local. From local wood from the area.
From local. And he Ernesto also was working with chestnut too. Is that true?
Chestnut.
Chestnut wood?
Castagno. A part is in castagno, and a part in acacia.
Right.
Old barrel. It's very old barrel.
Why did he like chestnut? What does chestnut do that oak can't do?
The important it's not the wood, but the wood is a contenitor to the wine. We like work with a wood because the wine respira.
It gives a chance for the wine to breathe. It's not really about imparting a flavor of any kind.
We made a more open wine.
It gives it a more open kind of taste. It doesn't feel shut down like something that would be in stainless steel or something like that.
Should we talk about the next wine a little bit? I want to. So in your glass you have the Ultra Costa, yes, the Ernesto.
Yes.
The Ultra Costa is the next.
Maybe.
No, you have the
Magnum or matte.
Yeah, we have the matte.
The matte.
The matte is first.
Okay. It's from 2000.
Oh, that's
2010.
Oh, great. Thank you.
2010.
We should talk about the elevation and what the elevation does in the vineyards. So with the Glera and the Pereira at 450 meters, how is it different from the 280? What do you get, the difference in the altitudes? What do you get in the grapes?
Acidity. Acidity and in the high 450 in the highest vineyard, the rain scivola.
The slope.
L'acqua scivola,
the water go fast down because it's
steep.
It's very steep.
Yeah.
You don't have sediment water. Okay. You don't have a sediment of water because it's very steep, and the water
just goes down the hill.
Faster down. Yeah. Yes.
More drainage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The grape don't take a water. You have
so the grapes on the higher elevation don't feed as much on water. They have to feed from the mother rock, from the roots of the vines, because there's less water, because of less less drainage. So you get more concentrated grapes.
So the mat, where could you tell us about this vine a little bit? This is 2010 vintage?
Yes. 2010 is in other vineyards, but also very high, that we don't work anymore in these vineyards. 2009, Ernesto did the harvest and then bring these grapes home. And here is a re-fermented bottle, and in bottle, and no maceration also too here. And the story of this wine is that, yes, we don't have old vintage, you will see. We have a lot of wine of 2017, and this is one of it's the only one of very old, because when Ernesto started to sell this wine, the clients bring back because they don't like. So now we have a little like 3,000 bottles, so a little stock that remain about this vintage. And Ernesto, okay, I have like 3,000 bottles back home, and he just don't know how he can do with this bottle, and left in the open air out of the cellar, just something on the cases, and live there for like 5 years. And after 5 years, friends come and say, "Yeah, Mari, why you don't taste this bottle?" And now it's here, so.
Why is it not a Costadilla wine?
Sorry?
Why is it not a Costadilla wine? Because it just says matte on the label.
Matte, because at the beginning he had 45 SLM, it was the label, and then they bring back. And Ernesto say, okay, I will not sell anymore like 350 SLM, I will make another label. So the people with Matt, the Matto like crazy, and he sell again to the same people that bring back, and they like. They didn't know that it was the same wine, but it cost more.
Yes. Genius.
Not so more, because Ernesto's problem was even want to have sell wine with not so high price. But he loved that it should be a table wine, so he try even to give a lower price.
Are there any other wines that have age that you have kept at the winery that are older? Like Matt, is there anything else?
We don't have more in stock, you say?
Yes.
No, because at the beginning, we do few bottle, so we sell everything. Sell. Yes.
Yeah, it's a project that, while still quite small, has actually grown considerably from the beginnings, and it's extremely popular, not just here, everywhere. And also, it's really a style of wine that's not necessarily made to age. It's meant to be drank when it's made and when it's released. So,
right. What was with the mat? Why were people bringing it back? Was the acid too high, or what did? Yeah.
Yes.
Too much volatile acidity.
And that over years has sort of calmed down. Right?
Maybe the sound.
It's still there.
Sort of. Yeah.
Right. A little bit. Right.
Alcohol?
10 or 11. 10.
That's why they did this. This is the first talk of the day. Everything's very low in alcohol. We know you've got a long day ahead of you.
I tried to taste some bottles that we have in stock of this. And we know that cases that are up are different than cases that stay down in this, out. Because they take more sun, and down take more not so sun. So we of this bottle, we had a lot of different tasting. So I don't know really now. maybe one bottle is different each other. But we are here for taste, so no problem.
I want to hear a little bit about what you learned from Ernesto from working with him over the years, because he was such a character, and he was so believed in this project and in creating biodiversity in the vineyards and using animals and creating, you know, a really living place. What did you personally learn from him by working with him?
I learn everything. I don't work with other sellers, so I learn a lot with Ernesto. And yes, it was, I know this inspiring a lot of me and also a lot of people and guys. He loved a lot talk about the work and give transmission of what he do. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Alex, you must have learned. You said that you had been working with your grandfather, yes?
No, I planted in a vineyard in my grandfather's house, but in my area, is between the Venice and Cortina, near Cortina, to 600 meters. In my area, we don't make wine. My father, my family have cows. As a farmer to cows, and I planted in the vineyard to Pinot Noir in my grandfather's house for the first time. Belluno is the area.
And so, what did you learn from Ernesto? What you learned everything from Ernesto?
When I meet to the wine, I'm. I learn all.
And I think it's important to also note that they're self-taught through Ernesto, who was completely self-taught and never studied any kind of winemaking or viticultural practices at all, and just kind of learned.
I was looking through my notes last night, and he told me when I was there, he said, "Enology school creates monsters." And so
I'm not an enology.
Yes, and Ernesto was really not jealous about his know of winemaking, and he loved a lot to talk and teach other people how to do what you can do and learn about other winemaking makers. So Alex comes in the cellar to learn, and yes.
We start in a project with the cows. Continuous.
What is that? Project. What is the project?
They have cows now.
Now they're
cows.
They have
cows and sheep.
They have Costa Dila cows. Costa cows. Costa Dilas.
A little bit fallimentare.
Fragmented.
Fallimentare. Fallimentare. Progetto fallimentare.
Yeah, it's a project that's always in flux, always evolving, always changing, and always growing.
Are there other animals too that you work with?
Three cows. Yeah. We have three cows and 10 sheep.
Sheep. Are the sheep in the vineyards for,
yes.
For the lawn mowers?
So, Greta?
They are alone now from 1 week. They are around. We will hope to find everyone. No, we will. One, two, three, four, yes.
And then, what is the next wine that we're pouring right now?
Umbretta.
You talk about that wine.
So Umbretta is one of a lot of projects of Ernesto. So he started 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago at least, to work in these vineyards, not on the hills. It's just 20 minutes down direction Venice, close to a river, Piave. And there is these vineyards of Verduzzo grapes. It's also typical of our area. And he do this new label, Umbretta Agricola, because close to the vineyard, in the same property, it was also a osteria, we say in Italian, place where you can eat simple, not a pub, Italian pub, it's named osteria.
Osteria?
Osteria, yeah.
Okay, okay. And the name of this house is Umbretta Agricola. It's mean Umbretta, it's mean shadow, little shadow. In Italian, when you want to drink just a little glass of wine in the bar, you ask for a shadow. Okay, because it's a tradition of Venice. That down of the campanile, the bells,
the bells.
The tour, you know, of the church bells, there is shadow, and people after, I don't know, maybe after church, or they go down this shadow and drink a glass of wine. There was someone that gave the wine to refresh, also people that work around the San Marco Square in Venice. And so it's become usually to ask for a shadow when you want just a simple glass of wine to refresh. So this is the name of the label, Little Shadow, Agriculture Little Shadow, Umbretta Agricola. Yes, and Ernesto create think about this.
And these are now available for sale in the United States. They are now available for purchase in the United States. It's, we brought in the 17s, right? 17 we brought in or 18?
17.
Yeah, we brought in the 17s, and the 18s will be coming soon. There's also a red. It's really good.
How is this wine made differently from the 450? Or?
This is Macerista. We do 50 days maceration, 2017.
20 days contact skill, and the different to Costa di La is the Umbretta. We made the first fermentation in the barrel.
Oh, so but in,
no, the no. First fermentation we made the 218, the other label, the other label macerated to Costa di La. We start the first fermentation in the tank, in the stainless steel. And Umbretta start the first fermentation in the wood. Mm-hmm. And we made 20 day, 1 month contact skill, and press, and we put in the barrel for 6 months.
Okay.
So,
and then to bottle.
Wood for the whole, everything was made in wood.
Everything in the wood.
Everything was made in wood, yeah.
Because it's few, and we have also few barrel, and we can do it this way.
Mm-hmm. It's very
explosive. Very explosive. That's great.
Just do a good work. Sometimes we throw out, go out everything.
Throw out a lot of wine. With these wines, there is a lot of sediment in the bottle, in the bottom of the bottle. Do you like to mix the sediment into the wine, or do you just let it sit and drink
like
it off? You mix.
I don't like too much, so everyone can make how they prefer.
You don't like?
No, I like to drink the first glass, maybe it's clean, and then when you throw out other wines, it will naturally
change.
Mix, and it's changing, so you taste different wine in the same bottle.
Yeah, if you turn it around and let the lees incorporate and everything, it's completely different texturally and color-wise, and it's, you know, becomes a lava lamp.
I remember Ernesto was saying that he that these wines were made for food, that these wines were made for eating. What do you think he meant by that, or what makes these wines good with food?
The breakfast, for example. Now with salumi and fat food.
Yeah.
It's you know, cotechino in Italian.
Right.
You know,
it's, really no. Rich porky foods with this wine. That's great. Yeah. So Ernesto had lots of projects going.
Yes, a lot.
What are other projects that he was working on?
I can talk you about a project that I don't. Unfortunately, I didn't find the bottles to bring here. He worked for a couple of years also in Croatia, in an island, a vineyard with these grapes named Troishina. So we spend a lot of time to go by car in this island near Kerso. Okay, he do a lovely wine for one. He work one harvest, and then the property and the other partners of this other project, they don't understand the way to working by biologic because there was not so much production, and so the project end. So it's there are a lot of story to talk about this and other project, but it was a very very nice experience.
Mm-hmm. So now that. Now that you are working on this project, are there other side projects that you are choosing to do?
Nuovi progetti di voi?
Questa cow sheep.
Yes, more about the farming.
The farming starting two years ago. It's a similar new project.
Right. What else is involved in the farming? Are you planting vegetables? Are you what else is on the farm aside from grapes and cows? What else is there?
We have a lot of trees, fruit trees, and the un orto vegetables. Yes. And we will start also to make food by ourselves for the animals. So now we have just 10 sheep, a couple of cows, and we will do also the food for these animals by us. So we will have a biologic meat, of course. And then we will bring, we will try to bring also inside the vineyards, the sheep, and also le papere.
To have the sheep walk through the vineyards and do their thing in the vineyards, eat shit, you know.
And there are all animals autochthon of our area. The cows are in extinzione, the race.
Yeah, they graze. They race. They have their own. Area where they graze. Yeah.
No, the name of this cow is Burlina. It's very little, very rustic, and no one have this cow more because it's too little to have meat and milk for the industry. So there are left just 400 cows in all Europe of this. And but they should be very good for the vineyards because we have all the vineyards.
Steeps,
yes, and they can go through. Also, the sheep are, the name is Alpagotta. Alpagotta is a little sheep, not too big. Very intelligent, clever.
Smart, yes.
Now we like to work with these animals. It helps, he give a lot of problems, but also. I don't know. Joy.
Right. Are you working on, you're working in many different little parcels or you're working in one big
No,
farm?
We don't have a big farm. At the beginning it was a big farm and where Costa di Las born town, but 5 years ago we should move from them, even for a lot of problem stuff. So we move in Vittorio Veneto town, it's on the hills. And here we have the house and a little a stalla for animals,
an animal stall. Mm-hmm.
And the vineyards. And then we have the different place, 10 kilometers from the house, the vineyards in Osigo with the sheep and the cow, the vineyards, another vineyards in Vittorio Veneto, in Combai. Around the area, so we should move a lot. Yes. It's a little bit like a labyrinth.
Yes, kind of like the label.
Yes.
Jules, can you talk a little bit about how these wines have been so popular? Like, what is it about these wines that has them in restaurants all over the place and people knowing about them? There's something. It's such a particular style. It's something that we hadn't seen before. And so, what do you think it is that has them? in such demand?
Oh, you're going to ask me commercial questions?
I don't actually mean it as in a commercial way. I think it's more like, what is it about them?
Well, obviously it's something that is resonating more and more all over the world, but wines that have life and energy to them, I think first and foremost, you taste, you know, with, it's not just, when I drink wines like this, I feel a jolt of energy, which is something that is not, you know, something that people are discovering more and more, or already knew, or still enjoying, especially from an area like Prosecco. I mean, I think that 95% of people that drink these wines don't associate these with Prosecco.
Right.
So it's a combination of the evolution and growth of the natural wine movement in Italy, of knowledge of this type and appreciation for this type of work, and then, you know, the other thing is that they're very fairly priced for what they are. They're very good. They're consistently inconsistent in the most charming of ways, and you know, they go down easy, and they're delicious. So it's not.
Is the inconsistency is interesting to me. Was that ever a concern of the wines being in, you know, one bottle tasting one way or looking one way and another bottle tasting completely different? Is that something that you think about a lot at the winery, or is it?
Sì, per fare vini tutti diversi. Siccome facciamo ogni bottiglia molto diversa dall'altra, ci pensiamo quando facciamo.
Sì. Yeah. It's something that you want.
Yes, it's. Is that also Ernesto and us make is interesting? Come si dice?
Yeah, it's more interesting to have
to work and change. Yes, but the grape and the vineyards is the you can start just if you have the vineyards, a good vineyards and good wine, good grape, and then you can joke a little bit. And but even as I told before, you started to think about when it's before the harvest. When you taste the grapes, you can start to thinking what to do.
Mm-hmm. When did you harvest this year? When did the harvest end?
At the end of August, and then we finish in the middle of October before we come in here, because some vineyards start first, was ready first, and other later, and sometimes we should to go inside the vineyards and do a first harvest, and then come back like 2 weeks after. It was very long this year, very, very long.
We made two different harvests in the only vineyard. The first harvest in the fine of August on the first day into September for the acidity, and in a second harvest in October, finish to September for the complexity, for the fruit to the grape.
To have more mature grapes.
Mm-hmm. Do you do that for all of the wines? Or
we see at the beginning, before the harvest, you have to go a lot of time in the vineyards and taste and see who is working the grapes, and if you want to do like something that is like a 45 SLM, you maybe think maybe next week it's ready, or we have to do today the harvest, or maybe at the end of the month, so we come back and yes. Even is a very important and exciting moment, the harvest. Also, a couple of the week before.
We go with Ernesto, we go in a vineyard with a bottle of wine to the vineyard and tasting the grape and drink the wine to
have
a continuous.
That's great. Were there other things he did like that? What other traditions did he have?
We think a new project with a restaurant or in the city to Vittorio Veneto, and when we buy the house, a new house,
yeah.
And We think start a project with restaurants.
Some restoration in the farm in our house, but it will be in the future. Not the next year, maybe later. But we will. The meat of our animals, they help us in the vineyards and to take clean all the wood. We have a lot of hectare, not just vineyards, so the animals are helpful. And but then we will sell also the meat if they grow up and have a child, you know. And the old sheep we will sell for the meat.
Mm-hmm. I think you just mentioned the forest. Before I went to this part of Italy, I guess I thought that it would be just all vines everywhere, and I was totally surprised by the forests that are sort of mixed in with the vineyards. It's not, it doesn't all look the same.
No.
What does the forest do for the vineyards? How does that
the
contribute?
The forest, mm-hmm. Wood.
Yes.
Okay. Cosa serve il bosco? Perché siccome abbiamo tanto bosco,
per avere biodiversità.
First and foremost, biodiversity. So you'll have animals close, and all the types of insects that would be drawn to woods that wouldn't if there weren't any vineyards around, any woods around.
For mushroom.
And also to protect the vineyards.
It's such a striking landscape, and my mind was so open to it. I didn't know that it would be so beautiful and so steep and so
Megan, it's
mixed.
Italy.
It was amazing.
Everywhere is beautiful in Italy.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. What is this next wine that we have? Oh, okay.
This is the Magnum, mm-hmm. Of Ernesto. It's the last one that Ernesto did by ourselves. I mean, not for sale, but it was one of your experiments. He worked a lot with the maceration here, and he took the wine in barrel. And then also he do a special work to drying the grapes and have this juice, as I told you at the beginning, to do the second fermentation. And it's very special for us because there are the last bottle of last project of Ernesto, and because he was never don't like to be boring, he wanted to do another label, just to work with this special experiment because he loves to follow little vineyards. But that are so little that it's just complicated to follow because there are a lot of little vineyards that all the farm of our era abandoned on the hills because the plants now on flat and no one want to go up and make working by hand, you know. No car can go up on these vineyards. So they abandoned sometimes, and Ernesto took a search, like all the years, search about these little vineyards everywhere, and he found some place, and he do with these grapes some experiment, and this is one of the last, and he want to make this label named Ultra Costa. It's mean over Costa di là. Something just to yeah. Make something different, so he didn't have the time to do the label, but we talk about, and so I just prepared some label for this Magnum, and with some animals primitive. He loves also to do also this archaic and primitive animals like Costa di là. Label.
Mm-hmm. Why in Magnums? Why all Magnums?
Because there are a few bottles and
not
like 40,000 bottles. Mm-hmm.
just to let everyone know that this is the first time anyone is tasting this in the United States, including myself. So these were brought specifically for Ron for this seminar. So yeah, enjoy. And these won't be for sale or anything. This is just the last, you know, they just brought a few to share with everybody.
So in talking with Ernesto, he told me that he likes to learn from other people.
He liked
to learn from other people.
Learn.
Yes, learn in the vineyards from other people. And he said that he was trying to learn from old people. Are you working with other people from the area now that have a history there? Is that?
Yes, we have a lot of contact with the not also winemaker but also farmer and allevatori.
The people who raise animals.
To learn and to start other things together, you know, follow the animals or sell not just wine but make also. Alex want to do cider and so yeah. Talk with someone that have apple trees and. It's a lot of things. We have a network. Yes. Yes. Contact. Also, Ernesto started with other farmer in our little farm that have vegetables, maybe meat, chicken, or other things, everything like homemade with little farm, and make a contact, go contact each other, make also a website with other guys, so to help a little farmer. Mm-hmm. And we can help together a little bit also. Mm-hmm.
Everything is so taken care of, and it's so, even when you see the bottles, they all have little tags tied to them that have to be put on by hand, yes. Tied. Why was that so important?
For Ernesto, it was very, very important. He loves also to go out of Italy and everywhere to see the packaging. When he comes here in New York 2 years ago, it was exciting to see all the different packaging and style, you know. And he loves a lot to have care about also the present, the packaging. You know, is also part. I think that is also a part, important part. If you love your product, you have also to present good. And so it's not so much. See, there's a lot of work. You have to do all the label and everything. But
it's not only the tags. Every single label and back label is put on by hand on each and every bottle. Which they have one guy who basically just does that.
Yes,
all day.
Yes, we have a guy that help us in the cellar, and they stay all the day with this label. We are very happy to work with Giovanni. I try one day and I make like 10 cases. He did 60 cases in one day.
He's better than any labeling machine.
Everyone need the help of other people that have other interests or other. Yes.
But also maybe to elaborate on Megan's question, it's also kind of a way to show that there is a human hand behind every bottle, you know, and a little metaphorical there, I know, but it's true.
Right.
There's someone behind every bottle, there's someone looking at each, you know, holding it before it gets to you, before it's bottled, before it's shipped, and that's part of also the whole circular nature of the project.
Right. What was Ernesto's plan for the project, you know, 10 years from now, and are you on that plan, or are you?
Yes. Unfortunately, because he has a lot of perspective. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think we will never have time to be boring. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's just to complete the farm and the hospitality, some restoration for the guests, and yes, very important also when you want to present the wine, you need to present it with food, so we have to complete all this part. The same. We are in an area and we want to present and make know at people the area, so we should have a complete farm. It's mean the wine and also the food and a way of working in the farm complete.
Mm-hmm. Very, very holistic.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this apple cider that you're working on. What is that?
The cider.
No, but it's a new project.
What is it?
Era un'idea di progetto, ma poi sono dovuto venire qui.
It's an idea. It's an idea,
yes,
of a project.
I hope you rest an idea for a long time that we don't have.
It's happening right now. He says it's right now, sitting here. So.
Right, exactly.
You know, you do the cider and then the beer and then I don't know, we never stop. We have also vinegar, but also ready. But we will have to wait to bottling. There are all the staff of bureaucracy. I don't know, but there is still there in a barrel.
We haven't really talked about how old the vines are that you're working with. Some are 70 years old. Some are, they're all different ages of grapevines.
The vineyards?
Yes.
L'età dei vigneti.
How old are the 50?
15 to 70.
50 to 70 years. So how many different farmers are you working with? Is it many different farmers that you're working with?
Farmers. We work. We work with three people work in the vineyard and two people in the cellar.
A very small crew, yes. For sure.
And that's the one label guy, don't forget him.
The label guy.
Yes.
Does he ever smile, the label guy?
Yes. This August, it goes in holiday for 20 days, and we should do alone the work of labor. It's ugly holiday of my life.
That's why, okay. He was not happy to see us that time we visited.
What do we have in this glass? This is Moz.
This is the Moz. So this is not really a new project. It was an accident. Of 2 years ago, we had in our area a lot of rain and grandine, ice.
Hail.
Storm that destroyed a lot of vineyards. And then Ernesto needs more grape to do the harvest and was searching someone that have some good grape of Prosecco and something. And biologic, obviously, and he find and he say, okay, in our area of Valdobbiadene Hills and Prosecco, everyone are without grapes because this storm was all
the hail affected the entire area.
Yes, so he say the only good grapes should be in hills. So the next hills close was in Colli Ogane. Near close to Padova, is a volcanic region with hills, very, very beautiful. And he found a farmer that have some glera and to buy. And but the farmer say, if you want my glera, you should also to take some Moscato. And Ernesto say, okay, I will take two. I don't know what I will do with Moscato. It's not, I don't like aromatic grape and so. Well, but no other way he took and do this Moscato Fiordarancia, the grapes, and it's also macerated. But it's very interesting because it's still very dry. Yes, there is 70-80% of Moscato, and then Ernesto put also some like 20% of Glera to more balance, so you don't feel so much the Moscato. Mm-hmm.
So this is the only vintage?
Yes, because people love it. Then they ask, we want again these moats, so we do also the harvest again.
Yep.
For these grapes. We like get in touch with some farmer and go by ourselves and take the grapes of start this Moscato.
And
mm-hmm. Yes, we start a collaboration. Maybe in the future we will also follow directly the vineyards with some guys of this Moscato in this area. It's very, very interesting, beautiful area. So volcanic origin.
So nice. Totally different soil, totally different.
Totally different. Yeah. It's quite far away from us, so we get in touch with other winemakers of the area, young guys, so, and we maybe make some job together and... Yes.
Hello?
I think a new project.
Maybe a new project.
A new project.
We need help now. No.
We start in Forse.
Forse.
Forse. Maybe we start a collaboration with FAI. FAI is an institute in Italy.
Yes, because Ernesto got in touch with this institution of fine arts that follow restoration of and care about building, old building and ville.
Old houses and villas.
With paintings.
Restoring ancient monuments.
People. Present villa.
It's an institute that care about the heritage in Italy. So church, museum, and, but also old house. With old painting and stuff, and he had in Padua, in this area of Moscato, this villa, this house with also vineyards, historic, very old, and maybe we do a collaboration with them, we will do the wine for him. So it's one of the things that Ernesto have a lot of contact.
Four hectares to Moscato.
4 hectares. Just a small little,
A good
too
project.
Too much for us.
Too much, right.
Exactly.
And you are a part of Vinnatur too, yes, are you?
Vinnatur?
Yes.
We've been for a couple of years, and then, maybe this is a couple of years that we forgot to...
To join.
Yes, but we are everyone. Close there, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Vinnatur is a really cool organization. I think it was started by Angelino Maule.
Angelino Maule, mm-hmm. And it's now in April they do the fair. It's one of the more important with a lot of wine grower of Italy. It's in the same day of Vin Italy.
Mm-hmm. And one of the main goals of Vinnatur is to share each other the knowledge of producers all through Italy, different regions, different soils, different climates, to work in the most natural way possible. Their end goal is to actually not use any products whatsoever in the vineyards and just grow the vineyards with no copper, sulfur, or anything, which they haven't figured out yet. Working on it.
Right, a work in progress.
Yeah. And all the wines are rigorously tested. I think even more stricter criteria than raw, even.
Yeah, I think it's something about pesticide.
Yeah, they actually, it's not just sulfur or organic certification. They actually test the wines for pesticides and herbicides, which do come into, that actually can be in the wines from the grapes when used in excess in vineyards. Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting because most of the winemakers, wine growers also in Italy, but everywhere don't have the certification of biologic, but they do obviously also in the vineyards, but also in the cellar. And Vinatur is like helping to certificate the working in the cellar also is important. That the certification of biologic don't care about the work in the cellar. And when Vinatur is a staff that care about a lot of the work in the cellar.
They have a very strict criteria in the cellar as well that extends, that's beyond agriculture. And there's similar ones in France, like Les Vincennes, there's things like this, where it's just basically people, it's a guidelines for making wines naturally, which of course, you know, they're trying to give a definition to what that means and actually working on it with having actual written things that you do, not just saying I do that or I do this and that's natural and unnatural. It's you have to do this, or you have to at least meet these criteria to say that the wines are part of this association. And the only thing that's allowed is a little bit of SO2.
So, what is the next thing that you do? What is your next big? What is your next big project? What is coming next?
Raw.
I think just to care about and follow this winery, this farm is we are very very happy about and we enjoy the work and. I will stay quiet for a couple of years, but Alex wants to do. Yes.
I think this wine that's coming around now will look a little different to you than the rest of the wines have. This is another one year they made the Rato.
1 year.
One vintage only of Rato.
Yes, it's like something special. Because maybe you understand now that Ernesto have a lot of contact and talk with a lot of people, and someone in Piemonte know Ernesto and know that Ernesto like to take care about a project, new project, and something that is interesting, and call him and say, we have here in Piemonte, in Dolcetto d'Ovada, a tank that is not so good a wine. We don't know what to do because the winemaker, the wine grower, is very old and now he get out. And but he's one of the major wine growers of Dolcetto d'Ovada is Pinorato. It was Pinorato. And so Ernesto go in Piemonte with the car and take this tank. He save this tank, otherwise go lost. And he bring in the cellar in 2006. And after 4 years, he complete the vinification. And after 4 years, he bottled. And he created this label. And in the label there is Ratto, like the name of Pinot. The winemaker, the first winemaker was Pinot Ratto, and Ratto it's mean ratta, you know. Okay, and so Ernesto say yes, we have Sammy Martino, we have to do a Ratto on the label, and so we made the label. But there are also a few bottles of this now. What?
Luva.
It's Dolcetto d'Ovada, yes.
And you are, once again, the only and first people to taste this in the United States, and will be the only to do so.
So this is the 2006?
Vintage, yes, and then bottled in 2010.
10. I want to make sure to leave time for you to ask questions. I wonder, I think these wines are so... they're so distinct from one another, and they're so delicious and just and sort of thought-provoking, and I know that you have things you wonder about them. What do we need to ask Martina and Alex while we have them here?
more.
It's a crazy.
It's a great question.
That was a great question. The question was, do you consider the wines that you make to be Prosecco or not?
Yes, for me, it's a Prosecco, but because the Prosecco is the Prosecco area, it's not the Prosecco color. But for the another word, don't is Prosecco, but is vino frizzante or vino bianco, or white wine. But for me, it's Prosecco.
Because I come from another area, from like a few kilometers, but out from Veneto. And when I come in Veneto, I started to drink Prosecco because it was Prosecco. And then I know Ernesto, and then I start to drink another Prosecco. And just I think that is the kind of Prosecco that I prefer. But it's not a problem if in the same area we have a lot of type of Prosecco, different. But for me, it could be named Prosecco. Mm-hmm. But we cannot put on the label. Okay, yes. Because it's not...
It's not possible to write to the label the name Prosecco. But it's,
The wine, it says vino di tavola.
Is classified like vino da tavola, table wine. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to have another classification, Prosecco, you have to do a lot of stuff, and they will control, the institute will control, go in the cellar and control your working and the bottle, the wine make test, and it for sure it will be not, they will be not agree that we put so. So we never try, Ernesto never tried to go in this system of Prosecco. You know. It was sure at the beginning that it was no chance. He tried to make understand, but even now it's not possible. But it's not something that give us problem, no, at all. Ernesto too, the only problem is he would like that people also in our area, they understand that it's a kind of wine. Natural wine, yes, is maybe a mood everywhere in the world, but sometimes the winemaker live in a place that people are not usually, they understand that it's this wine. So it's also a work that a winemaker have to do, not just us, but every winemaker, if you ask to the winemaker, they will tell you, yes, it's also a hard work, but we will love that also our neighbor can understand this, and they try even to make tasting and, yes, to get in touch with the people.
Thank you so much. Huge thanks to Martina and Alex and Joel. So fun to talk with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan.
This program is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.